Welcome everyone to our podcast about social cohesion and equality. Today we invited some very interesting speakers, which we will introduce later. First of all, we are Anna and Floor, your hosts for today, and we will guide you through the discussion in this podcast. This podcast contains three statements which will be discussed by your guest. First, we will introduce the team.
Designing cities is a complex task. Doing so, there are a lot of aspects to take into account. A few of these aspects are, for example, social equality and social cohesion. These are important aspects to mental and physical health. For this podcast, we will discuss these aspects regarding a future city on Mars. To investigate this thoroughly, we have invited a few key geographers on these subjects. Let's introduce our guests.
Yes, we will give the opportunity to our speakers to introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Jane Jacobs. I was born in 1916, and since then I have become one of the most important people on the topic of city planning. I am an American and Canadian city activist who caused a revolution on city planning with my book, Death and Life of Great American Cities. Instead of looking at the city like my other colleagues have done from the comfort of their own desk, I went out to see everything for myself. My research has been done through my own eyes and emotions.
Hello, I'm Le Corbusier, and I am a Swiss-French architect, designer, painter, urban planner, writer, and one of the pioneers of what is now regarded as modern architecture. I was born in Switzerland, and I became a French citizen in 1930. My career spanned 5 decades, and I design buildings in Europe, Japan, India, and North and South America. I'm dedicated to providing better living conditions for the residents of crowded cities, and I love working with concrete. My significance and influence for building an international style was so great that I am sometimes referred to as the architect of the 20th century.
My name is Edward Glaser, and I'm an American economist, a director for the Cities Research Program, and a professor of economics at Harvard University. I've published many articles in economic journals in the field of urban economics, such as Inequality in Cities, Social Capital, and the Rising Prices of Housing.
Hello guys, I'm Carlos. I'm a network researcher, Carlos Moreno. I'm a network researcher with roots in France and Colombia. During my academic career, I did research on innovation, complex systems, and the development of cities. In the last years, I developed the 15-minute city concept. I'm 100% sure that this principle will be the best foundation for a livable city of the future.
Civil rights, liberties, and status, possibly including civil rights, freedom of expression, autonomy, equal access to certain public goods and social services. Social equality is related to equal opportunity. And social cohesion refers to the strength of relationships and the sense of solidarity among members of the community.
So we will start our discussion. We provide 3 statements for our speakers, which gives them the opportunity to present their point of view.
First, we will talk about the mix of functions. The first statement is, functions within a city should be separated to improve living conditions of its citizens.
Hi, Jane Jacobs here. So, my book, The Death and Life of Great American Cities, has a very good argument on this. My nightmare is planning large-scale city districts from important people above who don't know anything about the real city. They create massive buildings with a segregation of functions. Separate living, working, and recreation is my worst nightmare. In my opinion, this makes for the best city and the safest city. This resembles closely to the exact opposite of Le Corbusier's views. I believe a city needs to be made by the own people to live, work, and recreate it all together. A separate city is a separate life between...
In my 1935 book, I developed my ideas for a new kind of city, where the principal functions, heavy industry, habitation, and commerce, would be clearly separated, carefully planned, and designed into their own neighborhoods. I have always been an advocate of segregation of functions rather than function mixing. because it can provide the living conditions of the inhabitants of cities. This segregation of functions in urban planning arose around the 1920s as a reaction to the deplorable living situation of many people around the end of the 19th century.
Edward Glaser here. I believe that from an economic perspective, time is money and a diverse agglomeration economy does matter for economic growth, and that we should build a compact city with skyscrapers. I'm convinced that we should build a lot of skyscrapers since the skyscrapers have two effects on the price of land. First, they allow more usable space on the same spot of land, which should push land prices up. Secondly, they allow more usable space overall in the city, which should push down the price of usable space and indirectly the price of land.
Yes, well, Carlos here, you know, I'm originally a network scientist. So I think about cities as complex systems, and complex systems because everyone has different daily life routines. We should make as easy as possible for inhabitants of a city to live their own lives. And the most efficient and healthy way to do that is to design cities with the 15 minutes principle. All that people need in their daily lives has to be reachable in a 15 minutes walk. And with this, I must acknowledge that I built on the legacy of my dearest inspiration, Jane Jacobs. And this also means that it is necessary to have mixing of functions in the city. Otherwise, people will have to travel long distances for shops and offices, which is not efficient and causes a lot of other problems like congestion.
The real city. They create these massive buildings with the segregation of functions. They have separate living, working, and recreation. This is actually my worst nightmare. In my opinion, mixed functions make for the best city and also the safest city. This resembles closely to the exact opposite of my colleague, Mr. Le Corbusier's views. I believe a city needs to be made by its own people to live, work, and recreate in all together. A separated city is a separated life between people. Let's live together as real people in a real city.
Okay, thank you, Jane. So you think that functions within a city should not be separated? Le Corbusier, what is your opinion on this?
I definitely have a different opinion than Jane Jacobs. And to understand my vision of function mixing, I must provide some knowledge about my ville radieuse. Indeed, the standardization of apartment buildings is the essence of what I call the ville radieuse, or Radiant City, in a book of mine published in 1935. The Radiant City was similar to my earlier contemporary city and plan voisin, except that housing would be allocated by family size rather than by income and social position. In my 1935 book, I developed my ideas for a new kind of city where the principal functions, heavy industry, habitation, and commerce, would be clearly separated, carefully planned, and designed into their own neighborhoods. I have always been an advocate of segregation of functions rather than function mixing, because it can improve the living conditions of the inhabitants of cities. This segregation of functions in urban planning arose around the 1920s as a reaction to the deplorable living situations of many people around the end of the 19th century.
So Corbusier's view on separation of functions is quite opposite of Jane's. Glaser, what would you like to add to this?
Well, I believe that from an economic perspective, time is money and a diverse agglomeration economy does matter for economic growth, and that we should build a compact city with skyscrapers. I'm convinced that we should build a lot of skyscrapers, since the skyscrapers will have two effects on the price of land. First, they allow more usable space on the same spot of land, which should push and land prices up. Second, they allow more usable space overall in the city, which should push down the price of usable space and indirectly the price of land.
Okay, Glaser. Glaser thus is an advocate of function mixing, favorably in the shape of skyscrapers, just like Jane Jacobs. Morena, what is your opinion in the debate between function mixing and function separation?
Well, you know, first of all, I have to admit that I'm really inspired by my dearest Jane Jacobs. And I'm originally a network scientist. So I think about cities as complex systems, and complex systems because everyone has different daily life routines. We should make it as easy as possible for inhabitants of a city to live their own lives. The most efficient and healthy way to do that is to design cities with the 15 minutes principle. All that people need in their daily lives has to be reachable in a 15 minutes walk. This also means that it's necessary to have mixing of functions in a city. Otherwise, people will have to travel long distances for shops and offices, which is not efficient and causes a lot of other problems like congestion. So I'm really pro function mixing.
Okay, so what I'm hearing from this debate is that the geographers Jane Jacobs, Edward Glaser, and Moreno are more in favor of function mixing because of efficiency, while Le Corbusier is more in favor of function separation. So yeah, we can carry on to the next.
Yes,
statement.
So thanks to all the speakers for sharing their first insights. And the second statement is quite linked to the first one. It's about walkability. And the statement is, a new designed city should totally invest in walkability and public transport instead of transport by car. So Jane Jacobs, would you like to share your thoughts first again?
Well, yeah, I will. Thank you, first of all, for the kind words, Moreno. I believe even on this topic, we will have a similar view. So I believe a city should be filled with diversity, not only of people, but also of functions. This means that this is a city where everyone can walk to their functions and go to parks by foot and see their friends by foot. This is the best city to exist. Not only does this result in a social mix of people, it has also been proven that this causes a higher level of safety in a city. If the city is walkable, people can see what the city is made of. People can realize the beauty of the city. This results in what I like to call a beautiful city ballet, where everyone moves across the city in a beautiful matter of connection with each other.
Okay, thank you, Jane. So you think that walkability is essential for social cohesion and for really being able to appreciate the city. Le Corbusier, do you agree or do you have a different point of view on this?
I have a different point of view on this, and it's maybe a bit outdated. But let's start with my ville radios. I embraced the idea of car supremacy and suggested that every block should be connected to cars. I saw no need for roadside taverns and or free markets in the future. I wanted to demolish all farmers' markets to create an extremely clean and organized life. Nevertheless, my idea may no longer be applicable in today's world, as cars are not the only form of mobility in our transportation system, and our buildings are made of multiple functions that require greater transparency and public access. The connectivity of surrounding neighborhoods and the walkability of public facilities have become the most important design criteria for contemporary society. It is also not surprising that my ideas about walkability no longer fit in with this time. After all, it's been almost a century since I came up with these ideas.
Okay, so we have heard some more traditional thoughts by Le Corbusier. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Edward Glaser, what would you like to add to this?
Well, a walkable city is a city where people want to work. Cities basically are places for interaction. And when a city is designed for making that interaction meaningful and comfortable, then the quality of life is enhanced, which in turn supports prosperity and increased social welfare. Cities with skyscrapers tend to emphasize walkability, since it only takes a few minutes to walk around the block of skyscrapers. Cities with skyscrapers functions, since their height enables a vast number of work and sometimes live on a tiny sliver of land. Besides, an abundance of close and connected real estate would decrease the pressure on roads, ease the connections that are the lifeblood of a 21st century city, and reduce the high cost of space. We can also look at the concept of social capital. Social capital allows a group of people to work together efficiently to achieve a common purpose or goal, and is an important part of social cohesion. When we look at the concept of social capital, it declines with expect mobility and social connection falls sharply with the physical distance. People who invest in human capital also invest in social capital. And lastly, social capital appears to have interpersonal complementarities. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Edward. So you gave us a bit more of an economic view on this subject. Carlos Moreno, what do you think?
Well, with this topic, I totally agree indeed with Jane. I think, and it has been proven a lot, that cities are more livable when you can reach everything you need in a daily life within a short walk. This makes people free, as walking doesn't cause mobility restrictions like expensive public transport or cars do because of its costs. It also creates connected social networks in the complex systems that cities are. So walkability is definitely key when designing a livable and equal city.
Okay, thank you everyone. So what we've heard right now is a more traditional view by, for example, Le Corbusier. But I think that we can agree that most geographers nowadays agree on a more walkable city for both social cohesion, but also for economic benefits. And to really participate within city life. So now we can move on to our last statement.
Yes, so the last statement is about skyscrapers versus single-family homes. And it is investigating in skyscrapers is the key to more social cohesion and social equality within cities. In the first debate, I heard Glaser mention skyscrapers, so I'd like to hear Glaser's opinion on this statement first.
Well, to save the planet, we should build more skyscrapers. Inhabitants of densely populated cities, such as New York City, tend to produce lower CO2 emissions from transport and residential energy use than those inhabitants living in less densely populated cities. This can be explained from the fact that when buildings are tall and the population density is high, households tend to live close to their work, which reduces the need to commute. I am convinced that cities should be made more affordable and architecturally interesting to live in. Therefore, tall buildings are greener than urban sprawl, and they foster social capital and creativity.
To summarize, Glaser, you advocate that skyscrapers are the key to an efficient society.
Yes, that's correct.
Jane Jacobs, what is your viewpoint on skyscrapers?
Well, I think for once I might not have to completely disagree with some of my colleagues. I actually don't mind big buildings, as long as they are made for the people of the city. As long as buildings connect people and don't cause a separation of functions, I'm happy. But I draw the line with big skyscrapers that are made by the rich for the rich. These block all the beautiful functions the cities have to offer. They separate all the functions from living, work, and recreation. They block the social mix and have been proven to cause a rise in danger in the city. Skyscrapers cause people to disconnect with the beautiful streets in their area and causes people to get stuck in their own bubble. I believe we should keep the beautiful old buildings of cities who aren't necessarily low, but also aren't the massive skyscrapers that can be seen in this modern-day New York, for example. I don't care what most buildings look like, as long as they keep the city healthy with a high social mix, a lot of interaction on the streets, and no separation of functions. Let's keep the city livable.
So, according to Jane, when building skyscrapers, a high social mix should not be forgotten.
Yes.
Le Corbusier, what do you think?
I completely disagree with my colleague Jane Jacobs, and I'm very happy that I inspired my other colleague, Glaser. Because I was, and I actually still am, fascinated by the skyscraper. In it I saw the potential of making polemical statements against a congested, slum-ridden European city of my time and against a horizontal garden city which threatened to solve the European city's problems by destroying urbanity. The skyscraper first appeared in my 1920s project for a city of towers and composed the centerpiece of my Ville Contemporaine for 3 million inhabitants of 1922. In subsequent urban projects, the Plan for Saint of 1925 and Ville Radieuse of 1933, I employed skyscrapers in order to decongest the city center while augmenting its density to improve accessibility and mobility and to increase the provision of parks and open space. The skyscraper I considered to be a magnificent instrument for concentration of population, for getting rid of land congestion, and for internal efficiency.
Corbusier thinks that skyscrapers offer the city more efficiency, just like Glaser mentioned. Lastly, I'd like to hear Moreno's view on skyscrapers versus family homes.
Well, I have mixed feelings about this. At this point, for the first time, I don't really agree with Jane. I think that high buildings can increase a lively street life, which is the result of a combination of densification and function mixing. I agree with Le Corbusier and Gleaser that it's a really efficient way to design a city. The densification makes it easier to create 15-minute cities. You provide a lot of opportunities for people to live in their direct neighborhood. And of course, not all skyscrapers are great. They have to be designed at the social way, with, for example, shared services like gardens or balconies. But we also shouldn't build up just to build up as high as possible. We should build up in order to create perfect balance between a good density of services and people in one area and buildings that are well connected to the streets at a social way.
So a city shouldn't be completely skyscrapers?
It can, as long as skyscrapers are designed at a modern and social way, and I believe that's possible.
Okay, so what I hear is that skyscrapers can be the key to efficiency when building a city on Mars. However, Jane Jacobs advocates that skyscrapers can tend to separate societies. So when building skyscrapers, she thinks that a high social mix should be stimulated and incorporated to keep the city livable.
All right, so these were the three statements, and I think that we can state that social cohesion and social equality remain complex issues when designing a new city or improving an existing city. While these issues are quite important for the well-being of citizens, and we can see that even key geographers can't seem to completely agree on possible solutions. Jane Jacobs, Glaser, and Moreno are all three in favor of a city which is walkable and where different functions for daily life are reachable. However, the discussion becomes more complex when we talk about skyscrapers. Le Corbusier, however, has his own view on the city overall and has its own theory about it. So we can state that this will remain a quite difficult discussion. I would like to thank all the participants, all the speakers, and I also would like to thank the people at home listening to us, and we will see you next time.